Wonderful. Take your Bibles. Thank you very much, Andrew. Take your Bibles. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 30. We'll read 30, 31, 32, and we'll read a little bit more, but we're trying to maximize while we minimize. Amen. So John chapter 8 and verse number 30, and hopefully it's marked in your Bible there, but watch this. I'll read verse 30, you read verse 31. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then look down there, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that, Lord, in a changing world you change not. And Lord, your word is always the same. Lord, it's as eternal as you are. We thank you for your salvation. Thank you that it's eternal. Lord, help us please and strengthen us tonight as your people as we rejoice in you and what you've given us. And Father, please help us keep our eyes on you. And Lord, we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. I don't mind telling you as far as some of the lessons that the Lord is teaching me in this time of weakness. I call it weakness. I don't really want to call it suffering because I'm adjusting. I'm not in pain. I'm just limited. And when I was in the hospital, all I had was the Lord. And but the reason I'm telling you that, okay, is as I talk to the Lord, I am an organizer. When you work for Dr. Jeff Owens for 10 years, things have to be so, okay? And that's the type of person I am. And I felt like, have you ever seen those Lego puzzles, you know, with the elaborate castle and the roads and the, I felt like I was, you know, Lord, look at how hard we work, you know, with soul winning and Sunday school and, you know, the organization. You know, I try to keep it just prime, and I felt like I was bringing it to the Lord, and then God says, I don't need that, and the whole thing went crashing on the floor, and I went, and God says, you need me, you need my presence, and it really, I'll continue to plan, I'll continue to organize, I'm not just letting everything now just go to the wind, you know, oh great, we don't have to organize anymore, no, we'll continue to organize, but I really think the Lord brings times like this in our life, my life, to show me that it's not me. God says, I can do my work without you. It's a privilege to serve. The world was spinning before you got here, and it will continue to spin after you. Hesitate on that. Go outside and just look at the sky for a while. So God has ways of running us. You know, I think this is important. This is important. And God says, I want you to redirect your need my prayer. So that's some things the Lord has shown me. And tonight, as we look at this verse, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And verse 32 says, ye shall know the truth. Carrying a Bible is not a good luck charm. It does not contain an aura that protects you from evil spirits. You're not supposed to wear one around your neck, okay? It's when you know the truth. I know the Bible that I have is truth. It's not one of many. It's not the one that I feel is best. It's the one I know is best. And in this world, if I just analyzed a few things, there's so much that none of us have ever seen happen before in America. Just take the border, for instance. President Trump made the statement, South America is emptying its prisons into our country. Well, I want to be careful that I don't think, well, that's 2,400 miles away from me. Doesn't bother me. I don't have any criminals in my backyard. I know there are people that do. So I want to be careful I don't get calloused. I know there's a problem. It does not affect me and my family right now. I don't want it to, but there's a problem, okay? Like we've never seen before. How about this? Biden's presidency, it seems like the communism and tyranny that is pushing. It seems like as they were there for removing God, removing anything that has to do with Christianity, and it seems like we're being pushed for a revolt. They're just hoping somebody squeezes a trigger so they can institute martial law. Now, I hope nobody does, but it seems like that's what it's being pushed for. It seems like that's, as I analyze it, if you take Wall Street, they're calling the market bubble and is about to burst, and the financial collapse seems to be coming a very real certainty, and they're talking about things crashing in October, okay? I don't know whether it will or not. Personally, I hope it doesn't. But you can't keep printing money that's not backed by gold. Something's going to give sometime. That means a financial collapse is coming. And they said this one will dwarf 1929s. They said the financial wealth loss in 401ks, retirements, all of that, they said, is massive. So a lot of people are going to lose a lot of things. Next time it happens, I'm not looking forward to it happening. But it's one of those things that I don't think you can ignore. Then when I take the COVID democide, say, what's a democide? That is when death is dictated by the government. And you'll hear me say next week, as I was in the hospital, I thought, I'm sick because my government paid to develop a virus to be highly contagious, to kill its own people, and nobody's going to jail. Nobody's even on the verge of going to jail. Everybody knows Fauci developed this, gain of function. It's getting heavier and worse, and nobody. My government did this. It's called the democide, when the government kills its people. And I'm watching it. I get texts every week of a pastor dying and then other people dying because of it. I got several in the hospital. This pastor just died. This pastor just died. And I thought, and I'm going to live because I'm a pastor? As if I got some right. I'm watching pastors die all over the country. I mean, good soul-winning Baptist preachers. And I got to live. That's God's mercy. Mercy. We're vessels of mercy. So I, as I think of all that, I don't think living with your head in the sand is wise. Claiming a position of denial and enjoying ignorance has never turned out well for anybody that did. I understand there's personalities that don't like conflict, so, you know, I understand that. But I think to say, I don't want to hear it because it's negative, I think is dangerous. So the more I thought about these things, I know in perilous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I started thinking about, okay, that's the negative, but what do I know? What do I have answers to? What has God given me in this time of uncertainty? And as I started to focus on this, it rejoiced my heart. You say, what's the first thing you know in these times? What's the first thing? First thing I know is that my Bible is the perfect, pure Word of God. And it's a King James Bible. It's not, other Bibles are tainted. They've been played with. They have missing words, not just retranslated. They're gone. I have God's perfect, pure, every word Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This earth is going to explode. The universe is going to explode. This book will not. Amen. God's going to speak this world out of existence, and he's going to speak it back into existence with a new heaven and new earth. Jesus said, everyone, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. A tittle, you could say, is a period dot. Every letter of every word will not pass. Psalm 12. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go there and just watch. This is, I have several verses here, but this will be the one that we go to. Go to Psalm 12 and look at verse 6. What is it that you know? Yeah, there's plenty of evil to talk about that none of us can do anything about or answer. You say, what are you going to do about a vaccine mandate? I guess Southwest canceled thousands of flights because they're mandating the vaccine, and they just had hundreds of pilots walk off saying, we ain't gonna, there needs to be a lot more of that, I think. You say, what's going to happen? I don't know. I personally hope there's a lot of civil disobedience. Amen. There needs to be. But here we go. Watch this. Look at Psalm 12. What do you have an answer to? Look at Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure means no admixture. It's not 1% man's words and 99% God's words. The Bible, if you have a King James Bible in your hand, is 100% the Word of God. It's pure. There's no admixture in it. The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou, that's good, shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Whose job is it to keep the Bible pure? It's God's word. It's God's job. Well, yeah, but if you tell a secret and then to tell a secret and tell it and you pass it on down, then the secret change. That's human. Where's God in the equation? God keeps his word pure, and I have a pure Bible because God has preserved his word. Watch this. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. God says there's going to be evil times. This isn't the only evil time. I think as we get closer to Jesus coming, we're seeing it. But keep your eyes on the word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord, Proverbs 30, the words, thy word is very pure, O Lord. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I have a pure Bible. I use the King James, and that's the only one I use. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. My only measure for what's right and wrong is chapter and verse. If you can show it to me in the Bible, praise the Lord. If you can't, then that's your opinion. And let God be true and every man a liar, untrue. You say, what do you know? I know the King James Bible is the pure word of God. You say, what else do you know? I know that Jesus Christ is the only way of eternal salvation. I'll read you some verses. And Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If you do not believe Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh who came to die for your sins, you will die in your sins. He is the only way. He said, I am the one. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I have no choices to make. There's only one God who died for his creation. There's only one religion that offers shed blood from the Creator to the one that sinned against. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one that rose from the dead. What do you mean? Well, I'm just kind of weighing religions and what is there to weigh? There's only one that rose from the dead. What do you mean you got choices to make and I'm studying it and you're a fool? Have you read the Bible? No, I know Jesus Christ is the only way of eternal salvation. Then you say, what else do you know? Okay, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, back towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 10. It says here, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he tells you on the inside that you're saved. You say, what do you know tonight? I know I'm saved. I got saved 36 years ago. You say, how do you know that? Well, one, I did what the Bible said. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number two, I have the witness in myself. The Holy Spirit says, you're his child. Romans 8:16, he witnesses with our spirit that we're his children. I know tonight that I'm saved. There's so much joy in the Bible about focusing. When this world gets bleak and dark, if you'll just thank God you're saved. Why does that mean so much? Look at your neighborhood. How many people are lost? Well, because everybody's not saved. And you wish they were. But I've witnessed to that neighbor, and I've witnessed to that neighbor, and I've witnessed to that neighbor, and I've heard what they have to say, and they're lost, and I'm praying for them, and I hope they get saved. But aren't you glad you're saved? Can you rejoice that God would save you tonight? I know the Bible is true. I know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Watch this. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, what a verse. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Aren't you glad it's not a process? Well, I'm 80% there, 20% left. Pray for me. No. You're either 100% or you're zero. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know that you're saved, if you're always wondering, well, maybe, I don't know. Look, the devil will throw fiery darts of doubt every once in a while, but you shouldn't every day be living, well, I don't know, hope I do. Boy, wouldn't that be awful to wake up in hell? And boy, there's a problem there. You need to enjoy knowing that you're saved. I know if something happens to me, I know I'll be in the presence of the Lord. Then I know tonight that God answers prayer. You take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 11. Go to Mark chapter 11. Let me just read you these verses here. I know God answers prayer. You go to Mark chapter 11. I read you Psalm 3. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalm 77, verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Psalm 50, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And I quoted that this morning. Psalm 65, 2, what a title for God. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. He's a God that hears prayer. When I was in the hospital, I had no idea what they meant when they said, you can go home, but you can't have any oxygen. And Brother Julio, EMT that dropped me off, he picked me up. He said, all 10 people we picked up from the hospital, independent at different times, went home with 2 liters of oxygen. He said, I don't know why they're not sending you home with oxygen. I said, man, I'm just glad to be out of there. I had no idea what that meant. And when I got home and I couldn't sleep and I was waking up in a panic, and each night and then Sunday night, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, scared to go back to sleep. You know, if your oxygen goes too low, you're going to have a heart attack and your brain and all this stuff. So I stayed up. Monday morning, I got up at 4 o'clock, looked scared. I slept a couple of hours for the first few nights. And then I started realizing I need oxygen and I need oxygen to sleep. And when the VA said, got to have a sleep study first, I said, I can't sleep without oxygen. Well, until you get sleep study, you can't get the oxygen. I said, thank you all. Have a good day. Can I just testify? I cried unto the Lord in my distress. He heard my cry. And I said, dear Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't get anything. Lord, you're my only help. And Wednesday night, the Collins has brought a machine, a generator, oxygen generation machine. And since Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, I've been able to sleep through the nights. I cried unto the Lord and he heard my. Can I just testify tonight? I know God's prayer. And just in case you say, well, how much was that machine? I looked it up on the internet. It's an $800 machine. You can't even buy it on Amazon. And the doctor told me those machines are so in demand right now with a COVID outbreak, quote unquote, you can't get them. She ordered one 2 months ago and still hasn't got it. I just like to testify tonight. You say, what do you, let's look at Mark chapter 11. Ready? And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that all those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I'm telling you tonight, God answers prayer. And if there's something, have you cried out to the Lord for it? And I'm not talking about something stupid. Lord, give me a room full of gold, or give me a Maserati, or give me... When you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart, that he gives you the right things to want. He changes your desires when you delight yourself in the Lord. So when God gives you a desire that's clean and right, do you take it to the Lord? What a verse. What a prayer verse. You say, what else do you know tonight? I know tonight that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. You know, whatever tomorrow holds, I don't have to go through anything by myself. If America, okay, let's talk about a financial collapse. If the finances collapsed and the market crashes and we go into a depression that's greater than the 1930s, well, man, they had soup lines and people were committing suicide. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know he'll be with me through it all. I've never been through a depression like that. I've heard my grandparents talk about it, when they were kids, but I've never been there. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. I just know I don't have to do it alone. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He'll never forsake me. What else do you know tonight? What else can I absolutely am certain of? Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 46. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 46. You say, what are you certain of? I know this, God's in control. God is in control. Jesus Christ is not reigning yet. The curse has not been lifted yet. But everything is according to God's plan. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Watch this. Chapter 46, verse 9. Ready? Chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. How come he's the only God like he is? Look at verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, he's talking about prophecy. I'm the only one that declares the beginning from the end. I'm the only one that can do that. I know when I'm coming again. I know when I came to die for the first time. And I know when I'm coming to reign. And I know when I'm coming to get you at the rapture. Everything that is happening is according to God's plan. It's already laid out. That, now, let's take this for a thought for a second. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but God knows all about the wickedness and the death that is taking place right now. Think about this just for a second. In the last 150 years since communism, 250 million people have been killed by their government. China, 79 million total. Lenin, 59 million total. Japan, 5.4 million total. Countries in the last 100 years have been killing their people by the million. Hitler, 6 million Jews, 20 million total. 14 million Germans. Remember when he was going after the kids that were retarded? You know, the purging, the 20 million. God does not rejoice in the death, but God knows all about it. It's mounting as we get closer to Jesus coming. God knows all about the wickedness and the death that we're seeing maybe on this scale for the first time. But God, everything's going according to God's plan. It's all laid out. What else do you know tonight? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, watch this. Look at verse 3. Ready? I hope this is marked in your Bible. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? And then the next five words, the God of this world, small g, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. You know why people say no to the gospel? Because they're blinded by Satan, who has dominion now. He's had dominion for 6,000 years. When Adam sinned in the garden, he lost the dominion. Satan got the dominion. And guess who gets to call the shots right now and give kingdoms to whoever will bow down to him? It has been that way for 6,000 years. You want to be a world ruler? You get it one way. You bow at Satan's feet. He's the one that has the power to give them to, what's it say in Luke 4:4? Whomsoever he will. You want to be famous in the music department? You get it one way. You give your soul to the devil. You want to make a lot of money and be a mover and a shaker in this world and call the shots with the elites and figure out, you know, the cabal that's working so that they can... You give your soul to the devil and he gives you dominion in this world. He is the small g at this time. That is why things are messed up. That's why we long for Jesus to come. One day Jesus is going to come. Revelation 5, we'll cover it. He's going to take that title deed of the earth from the devil who has dominion. And he's going to say, now it's mine to judge. And from chapter 6 to 19, God judges this world. You say, what do you know? I know God's in control. Everything's going according to his plan. But right now, Satan is the small g god of this world. And we will deal with more death. We will deal with more evil until Jesus comes. If you understand that, that's a help. It helps me. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What else do you know? What else can you know for certain as a child of God tonight? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6. And now ye know, watch this, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So God says there is evil being withheld until the Antichrist is going to be revealed. See the word withhold? Probably a key word. It's one I'd like to focus on. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So sin and its mystery of mounting for the Antichrist has been working for the past 2,000 years. The mystery of iniquity, this is written 2,000 years ago, right? So it's been working, it is still working, and it's building. Watch. Only he who now letteth or restrains will restrain or let until he be taken out of the way. Right now, God is, you say, boy, there's a lot of evil going on. I don't care, pick, you know, transgender, pedophilia, homosexuality, pick the murder of countries, of their people. Pick the, yeah, there's a lot of evil going on, but there's evil being restrained. When the rapture happens, God's going to say, it's all yours, and there'll be no more restraint. And Jesus said that time will be the worst time that the world has ever known or ever will know. For 7 years. And God says, I'm not withholding anything anymore. Have it all. This wicked world, they want a world without God. You want a world without Jesus Christ? You're going to get it. There's coming a day. You need to get saved, or all your dreams are going to come true, and you are going to burn in a hot hell. You want a world without God? You want a world with no Christians? It's coming. It's coming. Keep making fun of God. Keep laughing, and God laughs at you. You'll get your wish. He who now restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Watch verse 8. Then shall that wicked, capital W, that's the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What do you know right now? Yes, there's a lot of evil going on, but I know my God is restraining. God says there's only so much this world can handle right now because my children are in it. But when he calls us home, he lets it all go. And that's the devil's heyday. That's why there will be things. You think it's crazy now. Praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven. Amen. If you're saved, it's going to get wilder, crazier, nastier. Okay, watch this. Tonight, I wanted you to know everything is on track according to God's plan. And there are some things we'll never know. Jesus said, of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's some things I'm going to have to trust the Lord for. I have to trust that he's in control. I have to trust that he knows what's going on. I have to trust, I know he'll never violate his word because it's true and my life is built on it. Can I close tonight with this? God isn't nervous or scared about the future at all. You say, last 150 years, 250 million people being killed by their government, and there's millions of more that are going to die. The death is not going to stop and then when the rapture happens, the world population will go down to about 500 million. The death that is coming, God's not going, oh my. Aren't you glad God's not nervous? You know what I wanted to give you tonight? The thought that helped me, that helps me with all of this. If God's not nervous, I love the statement, God's not taking a baby aspirin over anything, then I shouldn't. And if I'm nervous or fearful about what's going on, I'm not walking with God. Take your Bible and go to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. I know this message contains darkness, but I really wanted you to leave church tonight with hope and a peace that only God can give. Look at Job chapter 22, and I wish you'd mark it and look at it later. But acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The more you acquaint yourself with God, the more peace he gives. And the further you get away from God and the less important your Bible reading is, the more terrorizing what's happening comes to you. Acquaint yourself with him. Make your walk with God the number one thing. Tomorrow, when you get up, the most important part of your day is when you read your Bible and let God speak to you and you talk to God. And strength for the rest of the day comes from those moments. Look at the next verse. Ready? It says, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. He's talking about read your Bible. Isn't it funny? I think this is beautiful. Job had a relationship with God and he had no Bible. But look what God used him to us. Read your Bible. Acquaint thyself with and be at peace. How do you keep your sanity? I told Brother Ross when we were talking, I said, there's so much I don't have. Well, what do we do about this? Well, what do we do about this? What if this happens? Okay, here, take this thought. You ready? Here, let's get dark a minute. One more time, then I'll close. There's 22 nations with DSL-4 labs. You know what those are? Those are labs that have the ability to produce pathogens on a weapons biological scale. 22 nations. There are 16 nations that stockpile biological weapons. When I was a kid, what was the threat? I know all you kids don't. It was nuclear, right? Because what are you supposed to do? If a nuclear bomb hits, get under your desk. I don't know what the desk is going to do with a nuclear bomb, but we were supposed to get under it if a nuclear bomb hit. Then, you know, the wealthy people kind of had the bomb shelters in their backyards and, you know, levels of concrete, then wood, then the soil, 2 feet deep, and all this, you know. And can I tell you something? A nuclear bomb has a radius of 50 miles. Okay, 1,000-hour-mile winds, all of that. Bombs of now are like 10 times the size of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They dwarfed those a long time ago. 16 countries stockpile biological weapons to attack other countries with pathogens like SARS-CoV-2, and then people die by the millions. Can I tell you something? I'd rather be hit by a nuclear bomb, amen, than some germ somebody weaponized in a laboratory, mixing it with animal DNA. Then read Revelation and see how much of the world dies from pestilence. And it's all starting to make sense. Well, where's nuclear come in? I don't think they can kill near as many people with a nuclear bomb as they can with a biological. Think of that. 16 countries stockpile missiles with pathogens in them that are worse than COVID, SARS-CoV-2. You say, well, what are we going to do about that? You know, I don't think there's anything about it. I think I better be glad I'm saved, and I better serve the Lord while he... And I need to acquaint myself with so I can be at peace and quit worrying about the... Because it's going to increase. I need to just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know how that verse ends? Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I hope tonight, I know we went dark a little, but I wanted you to leave church with saying, you know, I only need so much news. I need to focus on the Lord and heal everything that you need. What do I know? I hope this is a help to you. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your precious word, yourself, your presence.